Nation with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 147. I'm Adam, and with me this week we have Mary Lang.
Monday.
Reese Parton.
Oh, sorry, I was just whistling.
Robert Haynes.
Modesty forbids myself to agree with you, but yes, I am.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
TARDIS, TARDIS. Tethered aerial release developed in style, do you see?
Thank you. Right. I'm blind. Right, so now we've got about 50 minutes of Mary, so that means, of course, that we have to crack straight on with the next Doctor, which stars David Tennant and David Morrissey. Now, the TARDIS... by the way, hello, everybody. We'll talk about hellos
hello.
And stuff later on. We haven't got time, never mind. By the way, I'm recording this in Studio 2, which
the
is
toilet.
I said Studio 2, basically because the Mac was packed up for a bridal show yesterday, so I thought, well, I might as well unpack everything in Studio 2 and record it on. So I'm sat on the sofa and watching this on the big telly. And you will hear the clock go off when it's time for Mary to go. Remember the clock? It's back this week, listeners.
Whoa!
Anyway, the Doctor rather smarmily gets out of the TARDIS. She's parked underneath the bridge and has a sort of rather cheesy little walk around this sort of, looks like a Victorian sort of scene. Market, I suppose, isn't it? Then bumps into a...
That whole scene makes me
dizzy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a rather odd fake fruit hanging on one of the stands. Anyway, then there's a shout, Doctor! And, of course, he goes to help, and the lady who's crying Doctor isn't actually after him.
No.
After somebody called the Doctor, or Doctor, I should say. And then David Morrissey turns up wearing...
I wish that she could be a real companion. She was great.
Oh, no. Well, she was parodying Rose.
Yeah, well, think of this. I mean, her name is Rosita. She's black like Martha, and she's got that lippy quality that Donna had. So she's a little bit of a
mixture of everything. Yeah, but she's good. Yeah.
Also, something that that ends in, well, it starts with Rose, but they both end in A, like Donna.
Yes,
Martha.
Yeah. Very good.
Well, Martha, seems like the same kind of character that Rita was in the God Complex, a perfect companion, but she never travelled with the actual Doctor.
Yeah,
but that's because she was the perfect companion for David Morrissey's Doctor, think that's basically what it was. So basically, they something's happening, and they all they take their screwdrivers out and say Alon Z.
And did you catch how they each glance at each other sideways?
Of course, this is a cyber shade that they're that sort of bursts out of them and then climbs up the wall.
The costume's
a bit naff.
That's when the episode starts going downhill.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
so the cyber shade, yes. So the David Morrissey's Doctor lassoes the cyber shade and then gets carted up the wall, followed very quickly by the Doctor. This is obviously a comedy scene, so we can have them dragged across a warehouse. Yes.
Keep an eye on the tension on the rope, because it's very... not
slack.
Yes.
Yeah, it's certainly
it
slack.
That was slack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's very slack underneath Morrissey.
It should go to school.
That school. Yeah.
I knew that was coming.
That was slack of them, wasn't it?
But anyway, so it's all a little bit of fun, isn't it? This scene, they get dragged across. Obviously, I remember the confidential of this. They were sort of on some sort of roller thing, being dragged across the floor. But what doesn't work is when the cyber thingy jumps out of the window and then Rosetta cuts the rope. They roll backwards. Like, what was Rosita? Whatever. Anyway, they roll backwards. Of course, momentum would have taken them forwards, not backwards.
Right.
But of course, this is a science fiction fantasy program, and in the world of science fiction fantasy, they go backwards. It's like in Star Trek, there's a thing called inertial dampness. Moving on.
Pretty wet, isn't it?
Yeah, so basically they're all laughing and joking, and they immediately hit it off, because basically the Doctor thinks that is actually the Doctor. A future him.
Mm-hmm.
I quite like the actual these scenes when I originally watched it. Oh, good! It, you know, you could make does make you think it could have been a future Doctor, and I quite like that idea of how he would be meeting himself.
It's also kind of like Tennant's already met Davison in Time Crash, and he's just behaving the way he expected him to behave, I guess.
Yeah, and also it acknowledges the possibility of him being able to bump into himself, which then rather acknowledges previous times in which he's bumped into himself, and hopefully future times
that
we might see later on this year.
Hold on, can I just make something? Big Finish just announced
Their
50th anniversary.
Oh, yes.
With all the meeting of the, well, currently alive doctors up until the 8th, isn't it?
Yeah, all the Big Finish doctors, in other words.
That's cool.
Yes. Exciting. So, probably subscribers only, I suspect. But,
there's going to be two editions. One's going to be a 5-disc release, and the other's a 2-disc or something.
Whoa.
Oh, I can hear your fan going.
No,
it's good. No, I much prefer it doing that than doing the noise it was doing last week. Anyway, right. So,
what was it last week then?
It was blowing on the microphone.
Describe it. What was it?
Buffeting sort of noise.
Well, last week Robert said it was because he was eating while he was on there.
I'm eating some crisps at the moment.
So. Oh, I wish I hadn't started that.
Always eating well.
Yeah. Dinner time.
Well, unlike the rest of us, you know, he's got some body mass to make up.
Yeah.
Yes, that's good. Anyway, right, so the Doctor references a few previous adventures, Blink being one that stands in my mind.
Yeah.
Because the other Doctor has some gaps in his... in his memory, but the 10th Doctor, usually is called the Bigger on the Inside podcast call him 10, but of course you can call him 10 because the first three letters of his name are 10. So I'll just shorten it to 10. So we see the Cybermen who are saying they must destroy the Doctor, but of course they're talking about the other Doctor. It's getting very confusing. Right. Then we meet Miss Hartigan, is it?
Yeah,
I'm not very good with names.
Hartigan, yes.
Hartigan.
Played by Derv Le Kerwin, who role she did when she was very young always sticks in my mind. I like that series. That was good. Before that, she did a love scene with Bill Nighy many, many years ago, in which she was a bit on the naked side. But I've
just
not been able to find
that.
It online anyway. Well, you would do, wouldn't you? Anyway, next is a funeral.
Probably the best scene in the entire.
Yeah.
The funeral?
Yes.
The funeral itself,
The funeral bit was actually. If I remember, the funeral bit was the little preview we saw at the end of the previous episode, where they just showed a few marching Cybermen in the snow.
Did you notice something with the people lowering the coffin? Is that they sort of can't decide what they're going to do with the ropes. One, they both start gathering them up, and one side sort of thinks, oh, am I going to let them down so the other guy can pull the rope? Have a look at it.
Yeah.
You skipped forward past the entire business where...
During that bit.
The two doctors go through the guy's house.
No, I haven't skipped forward, Kirby. No. They were preparing for the funeral, and now they're trying to... the funeral sort of procession has now left. Now they're in the house, searching through things, and still talking about
the
doctor's trying...
sonic screwdriver.
Yes.
That's quite clever. Yeah. Then we have the fob watch routine, where the doctor opens up the fob watch, and they do a little bit of dramatic sound effects and music, preempting it. and then it just opens up.
It works every time, though, because they're such good actors that they're so serious about it. I still get drawn in every time, and I go, "Oh no, it's not going to happen."
Yeah.
And
of course, then we get your gag with the when he uses the sonic screwdriver and then tries to imitate it with whistling. Yeah. and then they find the data. What are they called again? Data things.
Can't remember what they're called.
Data stamp.
Data stamps, and they beam it onto the mirror. Strangely, on the mirror, it just projects a picture rather than reflecting a picture. There you go. It's a science fiction.
I was about to say
sort
that.
Sort of.
Let you
mention. Fantasy program. Weird. I noticed the light beams off the mirror, but not the image.
Yeah, the light does.
But not the actual thing it's projecting. which doesn't make much sense.
Well, but that's the way it projects.
But this is the thing, right? This is this. I'm going to start alluding to my point about this particular story. Now, I have a feeling. The next bit where it beams the life of the doctors, and we see a flash of all the doctors at some point.
Black and white.
There was a little bit of a hint of it.
Because we saw the doctor's face superimposed on Morrissey's doctor's face. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, we see that during the flashback scene where he is absorbing the data, the info stamps, not data stamps, it's an info stamps.
Info stamps,
right.
Not info
anyway, so we'll move back to where we are now. The Cybermen sort of get in, and the doctor tries to fight them off with a cutlass. He tries to use his name as some sort of reason not to get killed when the Cybermen particularly want to kill the doctor, so that wasn't a particularly good idea.
Did I say it on this podcast, but I did think when I was watching The Snowman about that scene when the doctor had the umbrella with Clara going up the stairs past the ice governess, it looked about the same.
Yeah, it's very similar, but I suppose he would do, wouldn't they? Mm. Anyway, Morrissey's doctor fires a data info stamp thing the Cybermen, which then falls onto its knees and blows up.
Then
the doctor decides to listen to the other doctor's chest with a stethoscope, just to see if there's any sign of any extra hearts. Yeah. And then we move back to the funeral.
What is it with the beating hearts? We got that with Donna, didn't we, all throughout the last episode? Now we got this. Ba-boom, ba-boom. RTD got a fetish about it?
Maybe.
No, it's your standard check for two hearts.
Right.
Yeah.
Back when I first started watching Doctor Who, that's one of the first things I found out about the Doctor. Mm. They had two hearts.
But they didn't do the bloody big heart beating all the bloody time, though.
Right, there's a quiz question for you. In what story was it first established that the Doctor had two hearts?
Spearhead from Space, wasn't it?
Well done, that's Robert Haynes, who is the oracle of all Doctor Who knowledge. Anyway, right, well, apart from me, of course. Right, so, yeah, we're at the funeral, and Miss Hartigan is very sort of flippant and wearing a red dress, which offends everybody.
Yeah. Great visuals, the snow and everybody in black and her in red.
That's why I say that's one of the best scenes in the entire story.
Yeah.
And she was very good too. Just calling
everything. She is good.
Yeah.
It's just too bad the story was so.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a minute. Anyway, the Cybermen turn up, like I say, and in that really good scene, not very nice to kill everybody, but I suppose it's quite handy, it's in the graveyard. A couple of them get spared because obviously they're going to get used by the Cybermen.
Four of them.
And they were the ones who remembered Miss Hartigan, weren't they?
They were.
Some of them, anyway.
You sound like you've got tension building music behind you, Robert.
It does. I would say it does. Yeah, it's a sort of music on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when they say final answer. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, it is.
You make a very serious point.
So anyway, this is where we start getting hints as to the fact that David Morrissey's doctor is in fact Jefferson. Because lots of his stuff is there. Yeah, that's just testing. This is where we get the hints that shut your face. This is where we get hints that David Morrissey's character is in fact Jackson. I love editing.
Jackson Jefferson, no difference.
He's edited there. Just in case.
Yeah, but never hear the mistake.
That's right.
Oh no, that he edited out.
And there's some more thingy chips.
Info stamps.
Them. In a box. And then they get to see the TARDIS. And what's it called? Why is it called the TARDIS? See if you can remember the...
Kirby, what was it?
Tethered aerial release developed in style.
Correct. Well done.
Thank you.
Oh, and I've just skipped. Damn! I just pressed the skip button. That was your fault.
Oh!
Anyway, yeah, so I do... I do like the design of the CGI TARDIS. Balloon. And then we get somebody from EastEnders as another of David Morrissey's sidekicks. I thought it was going to be a baddie in the story, but it turned out he wasn't.
Yeah, and so it's blue, just like the TARDIS. It's blue.
Yeah.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it?
I think all the Randall's stitched into it.
Yeah, that would have been good, wouldn't it? Probably would have deflated, though, wouldn't it?
Well, they're out there with the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah, there's...
finding out he's never really flown it.
Doctor's trying to explain to Jackson who he actually might be. Yes?
Miss Hartigan gets some Cybermen earbuds for those four guys and controls them and sends them off to their various orphanages.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And also the Doctor shows Jackson... Not Jefferson, Jackson, the little initials on the fob watch, which is another little clue that he's tried. He's tried to sort of gradually filter information to him as to who he might be. And then we get to see. Now, this is the thing, right? This is.
Coleman's name.
Yeah. It's Wyatt. Yeah. And we get to see. He beams onto the wall pictures of earlier doctors. Now, I have a theory. All this sort of stuff to please the fans was just put in there to try and deflect people from the fact that this was not very good. we get to see all the doctors. Woo! And it's a doctor thing.
I always used to love that in the old series. You know, like in Day of the Daleks when you see.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean some instances it was just added to what was maybe a good story, but on this instance,
they're shock.
It was. This was good. That was a very exciting thing and very thrilling to see it. The fact that they acknowledged all the doctors in New Who, and I'm quite pleased they did that. Of course, they did it again in...
Which of us actually counts up through the doctors as you watch?
Me.
I cannot help but to go one, three.
No. I was just making sure they didn't miss anybody out. That's my theory anyway. But as I say, there was another story, which was, of course, 11th Hour, in which they did it, which was, it was great in that one, because it was a good story. So it just added to it. But this time, I think it was just, they were just trying to,
Isn't this the second time in the modern series that they have acknowledged the existence of the
It is, but
doctor?
We've not seen proper images.
Yeah, the other one was
But that was just drawings. This time we actually see proper images.
That was just a drawing,
It's good. I enjoyed that part of it. Yes. I also enjoyed some of the performances, like you say, Rosita, who... and
I mean, it was a lovely scene, though, when Jackson finds out.
Yeah, no, there's some good scenes in it.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway. The scenery is great. The costumes are great.
Yeah.
But anyway. So...
Yeah, it's
bit like, oh yeah, that were
Now I have a question. Are those the same creatures that Strax refers to later as cyber monkeys?
No, I brought that up. I brought that up on the Facebook page. They were laser monkeys, not cyber monkeys.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Phil did correct me because I did bring that up.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that was from memory.
And that happened overnight. I wasn't going to correct you either.
I'd already be correct. You didn't have
to. Okay, well,
anymore.
You can all correct me, even even Reese.
Well, Mary, that's not
questioned
cool,
it before me.
Now, why didn't all these orphans? Why didn't some of them just run away?
Maybe these the slight sort of because they look a bit hypnotized.
That's right. They've got the laser monkeys. I mean, the cyber shades
are going to mock me then, huh?
Well, and if you've been in that situation where these kids are, you know, those men look pretty
they look pretty.
Unmovable.
I wouldn't say that.
And what they want. I'm sure the kids are trained to do whatever they're told.
Yeah, they
look a little bit brainwashed, but obviously they're not. They're just frightened and just doing what they're told. And I think
they're all thinking to themselves, "Cool, I'm in a Doctor Who story."
I'm thinking of at the end when Jackson, like kid, gets on the back of the Doctor and they swing to safety. I just thought that'd be every little boy's dream, wouldn't it?
So I just thought that
on the back of the Doctor.
Doctor Who.
I just thought that that kid was unfortunately not the best looking kid that I've ever seen. As a sort of,
right. Yeah. Right.
A lot of eye makeup on
yes.
too.
Yeah, it's fake eyelashes, yes. I seem to.
Yes.
Yes.
Not the, well, it was eyeliner and sort of.
Fake eyelashes,
that's it, yeah. So yes. Obviously giving the kid some sort of strange complex at a very early age. Now, there's some camera angles here looking up at Miss Hartigan and her little cronies, well, cyber cronies.
I like that. Before she came out, the doctor went, "Whoa, how did you get there? Did you put your legs on silent?"
Yes.
Yeah, and then we see another little flashback of doctors.
Does that mean they do have
silent legs? They must do. Yeah, so we see the only little flashback of the 10th Doctor in the eye of the Cyberman. Now, because of all that, I nearly miss one of my favourite bits, which is where Rosita punches Miss Hartigan.
Oh, yes.
And they had blood.
Yes.
Yeah, just a little bit. Otherwise, it wouldn't look like she actually managed to...
Realistic looking, yes.
Yeah.
It was actually lipstick, just went splat. It wasn't actually blood. So... not a lot going on in this story, is there? So he's sort of remembering the death of his wife and the sort of invasion of the Cybermen into the cellar at his house, but can't quite remember that something else was taken other than his wife. Miss Hartigan arranges for the death of the four people she no longer needs, and puts all the children to work in whatever they've got to do. In the hub? Oh, yes, the hub.
Which made me wonder, because with the Cybermen could have so easily done all that those kids were doing mechanically.
That's what I thought.
And much the Cybermen are just standing around there while the kids are doing all this.
Yeah, but they could have done it also much, much more efficiently than the kids.
And they taught those kids what to do pretty darn fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But unfortunately, when they're saying that they put kids to work and the Cybermen could have done it more efficiently, doesn't quite get excused by the it's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
I didn't say that it's a science fiction bit. One. I just said it's a TV show and they wanted a good imagery of save kids.
but they've got to make it a bit convincing.
That cyber leader with his exposed brain and black faceplate, was he in any earlier episodes?
Yeah,
I don't know, but it didn't look very organic, did it?
No.
The brain bit. Carry on.
To show a brain like that with a cyber leader is tradition.
Yes, but it didn't look very organic. It just looked like
plastic.
Well,
sometimes
it
looked more organic.
It looked about as good as the ones from the classic series.
Okay.
Oh, shut up!
Sorry.
Shut up! Shut up!
I don't think the kids were very good actors, though, either.
Were they any of them acting? I thought they were just extras.
Job for all we know.
DVD! It's a DVD! Sorry. I must leave. A DVD's just landed through the letterbox.
Yay! Is that a legacy collection?
Crash landing?
Yeah. Is it a legacy collection?
He's up there.
Ooh. He's opening
it. Unwrapping his gift, yeah.
Right. Sorry, earphones, headphones back on. And, hello. I'm just about to find out.
Come on.
Of course, you can get this order thing from goo1.co.uk. goo1.co.uk. Here we have it. It is the Legacy Collection! Again, consisting of Shada and more than 30 years in the TARDIS.
Are you watching tonight?
I might do. I might get a chance to watch it. You never know. I was watching the Olympics, actually, and stuff. Okay. Magic, don't go that way! Where's my wires? Oh, God, you idiot!
And did you get that?
There's loads of other ways. There's loads of other routes. Okay? No, I'm talking about there was loads of other routes that Magic could have taken. Around this room, but he decides to go the only route where there's loads of wires. So, what was it again, Mary?
Whoon.co.uk. There we go.
Whoon.co.uk.
My shoulder's hurting. Right then, where'd I get up to? All right, so the Doctor has found the sort of the device, which is in fact
you're not letting us know where you got it from.
snow. No, we haven't started snowing yet. We did have a little sprinkling of snow on the cars as I was walking the dogs this morning. There was a little tiny little sprinkling of snow.
So hot here. So hot.
One thing I remember with the confidential for this, that I was real excited to see that they were using the hub set.
Little did we know, Torchwood hub.
Yes, little did we know that the reason for that was that they were destroying it.
Yes. They did explain that it was stolen from the Daleks, that bit of technology.
Yeah,
they did, but I'm saying that. No. Because I'd forgotten that when I was watching it. When I saw the little bumps on the side, I thought that looks a bit Dalekish. And of course, then they said it was stolen from the Daleks and how they were able to time travel, etc. So that's fine.
This is a story I don't return to watch very much.
No, so it's only that this is, in fact, the second time. Yeah, this is the second time I've watched it.
This will be my third time.
So anyway, Miss Hartigan is introduced to her throne, although she's not too keen on the idea of sitting in it. And then
he thought it was the cyber leader, though.
Yeah, uh-huh. Indeed. And then this thing comes down onto her head, and she sort of gets sort of converted, I suppose you call it. And when she opens her eyes up,
it's quite obvious that the Cybermen have no concept of gender because she's the Cyber King, apparently.
Yeah.
And of course, Doctor and Rosita and
all
David
hell
Morris's
the Cyber King
have found where all the children are. And yeah, we have all this hell the Cyber King nonsense. and the Doctor finds out that they've got very little time to save the children before they'll get killed by the Cybermen. So, Miss Hartigan Cyber King person then destroys the Cyber Leader, is it? The one with the brain?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite like the they say that the actual costume side of that, that's really good. You know, the thing that comes down on her head, it's quite good. Yeah. The visuals, I think, as we're looking at, are quite good. I like the fact that
very nice steampunky.
Yeah, and the fact that David Morrissey's got that sort of Rambo style thing over his shoulder that contains all the
info stamps.
The kids all escape, apart from one that just happens to be right up really high,
and just happens to be his son too.
Yeah,
that's right. Only one that didn't run away.
Father. And of course, he looks up and he suddenly remembers. Oh yeah, I've got a son, haven't I?
And he's
got some very strange eye makeup. And then of course, who's going to rescue him?
And that eye makeup disappears later on.
Especially when they do the flashback to when he got taken, they show that he hasn't got any eye makeup on that.
More normal there.
And then when he's holding him later.
Yeah. Then of course the Cyber King thing, giant robot doodah thing, starts rising up. Is it from the River Thames?
Yes.
Suddenly very deep.
Just the same. Thames. Yes. And then the Doctor himself flies up on a rope and then says, grab my shoulders, hold on tight. Of course, if he was only holding on with his own child's strength, I think he probably would have fallen off when the Doctor swung from one part to the other. But hey-ho.
You know what's funny?
Science fiction,
holding on to the Doctor, I'd probably hold
fantasy.
On tight.
It's a science fiction.
But you know what was funny about TV? That? When he jumped off, the explosion's on where the kid is. So he's like protecting himself from the explosion, the Doctor. And letting the kid bear the brunt. Isn't he?
Yeah, there he is without his eye makeup. And that's back again.
It's there for some scenes, not for others.
Meanwhile, Rosita continues to help the other kids, and she heads back.
For some reason, this is the... I had forgotten that they kept the cutlass from the house, and were still carrying it around.
Oh, yes.
All right, yeah. Then we see the scene where the cyber robot-y thing comes out of the Thames. It does look really effective with the water running off it, I must admit. And then it looks really silly when it's actually standing up, towering over London.
Marching through the city.
It doesn't seem to destroy anything, really, when it's walking either. I was looking forward to crunching buildings, but...
And squashing people and things.
Yeah, you don't see anything, really.
So basically, after this, the Doctor finds the other TARDIS and... Because I'm going to cut this short because there's really not a lot going apart from running around and stuff. He gets the other TARDIS, uses the balloon. Have you flown this before? No, but it didn't matter because he's a doctor. And then flies up to give Miss Hartigan herself back.
Yeah, very, very convenient the way that that balloon flies, isn't it?
Yeah, straight to where it needs to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so gives Miss Hartigan herself back and gives her the decision to sort of, I don't know, what's she do? Sort of scream, I think, isn't it? She just scream.
Yeah, and then they explode.
Screaming is right doing it.
And close their heads.
Yes.
Too much emotion, maybe.
Maybe.
I think it's like breaking the glasses if you scream at the right pitch or sing at the right pitch.
Yeah.
It just blows up their heads if it's the right pitch. Glasses.
As long as it's the same pitch as the sting.
Now, Davey said after the whole thing was broadcast that he wished that he had had Miss Hartigan make it disappear instead of using the Dalek technology.
Yeah.
He said it was kind of rubbish.
Is there a version of this that's got commentary? Because the one I'm watching hasn't got it.
I think there is, but the one I'm watching doesn't. I haven't purchased it.
Maybe it's on the. There was a specials box set came out. Maybe it's on.
Yeah, I've got that, but only some of them have commentaries. Or commentaries.
So,
this is the one that I recorded off the TV ages ago.
Oh, I see. But anyway, the Doctor, like you say, fires that gun thing that it took out the Dalek technology at the thing, and a sort of time vortex seems to open up, doesn't it? Because that's what it looks like when they have an angle of it. As he's firing it, a sort of superimposed time vortex around it, which looks really quite effective, actually. Yeah. It was very much like the Tom Baker
one. There's not much substance to it.
No.
And fortunately, the cyber thing falls into it, but where does it go?
Well, didn't the Doctor before say something?
Well, Jackson says, I presume it's been sent into the vortex where it can just disintegrate into nothing. Oh, I've picked up it all.
Oh, that's handy, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, after that, and then a really cheesy speech from Jackson about the Doctor.
An inaccurate one, too, because he says he's never been thanked, but he got to write royal thanks in Voyage of the Damned. The Queen went, thank you, Doctor!
Oh, yeah, that's right. And also, like I say, this is another scene.
Thank you, Doctor!
It's another scene in which you see the little boy without his eye makeup on. And also, I forgot to mention earlier on this episode, right at the beginning, in fact, Rosita says, Doctor Who, in a way we've forgotten.
Yes, she does. That's right.
Yeah, so,
but that was a more natural sort of...
it was much the same way that... Yeah.
Clara and the Doctor, in their conversation.
So there is a rumor that Clara may be somehow... No, that she may somehow be associated with Miss Hartigan because of the red dresses that we've seen in both times we've seen Clara.
Yes, but there were also another rumor that Rose would be appearing at the tavern that she worked in because it had Rose in the name.
Yeah, and also there's a rumor that she might be the daughter of River Song. And there was all sorts of strange ideas coming forth. I've heard some good ones and some bad ones.
Yeah, I've seen one that says that she's the Watcher.
I've heard that one before.
But I think we all enjoyed the scene when the Tenth Doctor takes the other Doctor into his TARDIS and he gets to experience that. Yeah, that's a good
point. After he refuses Christmas dinner and then changes his mind.
Uh-huh. There's a whole boatload of fan fiction where they actually go off and do some stuff.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, I would like to see him back.
He would make a good companion.
Yeah, there's lots of padding, isn't it?
He'd make a passable Doctor, really. He was very good.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. But basically, that's it.
The costume they've got him in is kind of a generic Doctor costume.
Yes.
That it doesn't
really deliberate.
Fit the time he's in this story. But it's what everybody thinks of as the Doctor, which is why Paul McGann was dressed a lot like that.
And why the 11th Doctor now looks a bit like that.
Yeah.
I'm getting a phone call from Skype.
Oh, dear.
Again?
Let's see what it says. This is on my mobile this time. Let's see what it says.
I have one. $200 million from Nigeria.
Hey. How can you do that? I'm not even online.
Just
on
send
phone.
Your credit. You just send your bank account number, and we'll put it in.
Yes.
They didn't answer. Or is it answered? Hang on.
Aren't I the luckiest person in the world?
Just
email all your personal details.
Why can't I hear anything?
I don't know.
Open your ears.
Yeah.
Look up to the skies. Oh wait.
Oh, this is quite interesting. I'm trying to get it so I can actually hear it, though.
Hello. Pardon? No one is available.
Hang on. Shush. Yeah, what about it? Oh, shut up. It's telling me my system speed is below average. How the hell do I end this call?
I don't know.
Shouldn't have even answered it.
I don't know. Skype's never called my phone. I don't know.
Well, no, I was trying to call my computer earlier on. It says to me that they're doing system maintenance, so it might slow down Skype.
I doubt it's even that. It's probably a
scam
of some sort.
All right, okay. Anyway, so basically, this story sucks.
Rubbish.
Yes. Yeah, I keep forgetting about this one. I mean, when I watched it, and this is the third time I've watched it, it was like I had never seen it before because so many things were, you know, seemed new to me because I'd forgotten all about it.
Same here.
You know, this is one of the rare ones I was dreading having to watch because I didn't enjoy it the last time.
Me too.
And that I didn't actually enjoy it the second time round.
Yeah.
But it was just as bad as I remember.
I actually waited until, I believe, midnight last night before I started watching it.
I watched it before I went out today.
It's
barely
watchable.
I got 3.5 hours sleep.
It's 15 minutes too long.
Of course, I will confess the next one has the same thing for me.
I don't know. I'll have to just make a decision on that when I've watched it. I don't dislike that as much as I dislike this, to be fair. It's okay. I mean, there are certainly watchable elements to it. The interaction, the rapport between the main characters is really, really good.
Apart from the kids.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the story is...
Rubbish.
There's only about 15 minutes of it that was actually... You could say the beginning, the bit up to you find out when the fact that he's not another incarnation of the Doctor, and the bit where you see the Doctor's face is beamed onto the mirror.
I think my main problem with it is it's built up with that grand mystery, and then it's let down because he finds out the Doctor is the real Doctor, and he's just kind of pushed to the side. I would have liked it if he actually solved more of the situation.
Mm. But yeah, I wish there was more I could say. I was hoping, right, because I had a funny feeling I wasn't going to really enjoy this episode. I was hoping that I was going to sit here and just say at the end of it, I didn't really enjoy it, and one of you lot would actually like it, but...
No,
I don't mind it.
You don't mind it?
No.
Okay. The music's good.
I like the performances too, there were some good scenes.
Like I said.
Yeah.
Well, I think you put your finger on it. I think it's because it keeps building up to things that that we think are going to be interesting, but then they turn out not to be, or they're resolved a little too quickly, and so I think we just keep getting let down during the course of the story.
I have to admit, when it first was broadcast, I did watch it 3 or 4 times because it was it was new who.
I didn't.
And another negative thing I have to say about it is it's an okay episode, but it's a terrible Christmas episode.
It is.
To make it seem Christmassy, they have snow and they have people just randomly saying
Merry Christmas.
I'm wondering if this had been just a normal sort of series episode, they chopped 15 minutes off it, it probably would have improved quite a lot. They would have. I'm going to say it would have improved.
And got rid of the cyber shades.
But it still would have been an average to not very good story.
Well, you know, there have not been very good Christmas episodes. Maybe we're just looking for too much every Christmas episode. Because we seem to dislike
Well, you look forward to them, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, they could do something. I mean, well, look at the great end of series season. Sorry, Reese, you've been contaminating me. End of series that we just watched last week. If they had something like that as the Christmas special, it'd be something really special, wouldn't it?
Yes. They haven't really got an excuse for making Christmas specials not very good because they've got more time to plan them.
Yeah.
They're made on their own. And
most of them are very good.
You know,
But they're also caught in the bind of if they make it a good episode for us fans, then that leaves out the general people who tend to tune in at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one, they've gradually gone downhill, haven't they, from since, you know, the Christmas invasion. Each one has gone gradually sort of downhill until now. Personally, I did enjoy the next Christmas special we'll be looking at, which won't be in too many episodes' time because I've only got a few specials and it was a cartoon episode.
Not so specials.
And the Sarah Jane episodes, the wedding of Sarah Jane Smith, which is technically a Doctor Who.
Oh, are we
going
to watch that one?
We are, because it's the last.
Okay.
It's the last thing that Tennant filmed as.
Has Mary got access to that though?
I don't know. I've seen bits and pieces of that, but I haven't looked, up the whole thing.
Prepare yourself.
I haven't seen it either, Mary.
You have a few weeks
to find it out.
Yes. Right, so that's what we think of it. Shall we see what some of the others think of it?
Yep, for sure.
Well, I was just going to say, I like most of the Christmas specials, and I can see what you mean about it being hard to write it for the fans and the general public, but because I'm a fan, my favourite ones are The Christmas Invasion, A Christmas Carol, which is kind of good for both fans and newer people to the show, but also
The Christmas Carol was great.
Yeah, and The Snowman is...
And The Snowman. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is about that is, The Christmas Invasion is introducing Tennant, and that's kind of connected to the first season and what we saw there, so it's kind of... Yeah. A fan story, but it's also very...
Well, I like that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it too.
The Christmas Invasion is actually a good place to have people start watching.
I just don't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm. But also, the Snowman has Clara being introduced, which is another good place to start it off. But also, for classic fans, it's got the Great Intelligence references in there.
Yeah.
You know what was funny? Because I watched a bit of the Confidential, and they had snow on the title scenes, and the snow I expected to turn into the things you see on the snowman.
Yeah, the biting snow. There was a scene in the actual episode that I thought was similar to that as well.
So I'm not the only one then.
No. Mm. Right then. So we see what some of the others thought.
This was set, 30 years before this most recent Christmas special?
But they're Victorian ones, yeah. Something like that.
It probably was. Anyway, here we go. So we have a listen to someone else's opinion.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the word I was looking for.
Hello, 20 Magnet Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. The Next Doctor by Russell T. Davies. This is a Christmas special, 2008. David Tennant had just announced he was leaving. David Morrissey agreed to refuse to say whether he was taking over from Tennant, so as to generate newspaper speculation and publicity. Dervla Kirwan plays Miss Hartigan. She was in Goodnight Sweetheart, where she played a woman in World War II London who met a man from the future. And this is different because she is in 1851. Jason Lake's companion is called Rosita. The beginning of her name is like Rose, and the last letter is A, like Martha and Donna. We have a Victorian Christmas in the snow, like the recent special, and the Doctor picked up an umbrella at one point. An info stamp showed images of all the Doctors. This reminds me of a scene in Shakespeare's Macbeth, where the witches show images of the previous kings. The Doctor stranded Miss Hartigan in the Time Vortex, or killed her if she did not survive the trip. The Cybershades have never been seen again. Good riddance.
Yay.
The 11th Doctor later said that the Cyber King was removed from history when the universe was rebooted. Debate, debate, debate. The Cybermen could have built a steam engine instead of using loads of children.
Right.
I would have preferred a steam engine.
Yes.
Yes. Is Morrissey in charge of Egypt now? Oh no, that's Marseille. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thanks, right. Ian.
Thank you, Captain.
Not a lot of difference of opinion there from what we thought.
Yeah,
let's see what Matthew Kressel thinks.
This is Matthew from North Alabama sending in feedback on the 2008 Christmas special, The Next Doctor. There are certain stories that will only really work on the first showing. Perhaps The Next Doctor was destined to be one of those stories. The big reason for that is the conceit that lies behind its title and indeed its plot. This is one of those cases where I suspect a title came first and then everything was built around it. If that is indeed the case, then for the most part, it shows, with a weak plot and a weaker ending, the latter being something that writer Russell T. Davies himself has acknowledged. The central conceit also falls apart quite quickly, to the point that Davies gets rid of it less than halfway through, perhaps speaking to the weakness of basing an entire story around it. It also doesn't help that The Next Doctor also features some of the weakest CGI and special effects work done for the new series, be it the ridiculous CGI Cyber King or the Cyber Shades, which frankly looks like a guy wearing a furry suit while wearing a Cyberman helmet. That isn't to write off the special entirely, though. There's David Morrissey's excellent performance, first as the Next Doctor, in inverted commas, and then as Jackson Lake. It's Morrissey's performance more than anything else that carries the conceit as far as it goes. It also helps that Morrissey and David Tennant share some excellent chemistry, and the two of them really carry this story right up to its lovely final scene. 4 years on from its original broadcast, The Next Doctor feels, more than anything, like a missed opportunity. Not only would Morrissey have made a splendid Doctor, if his performance here is anything to go by, but given when this first aired, this could have been the perfect time and place to introduce a Next Doctor. Instead, it feels like a one-trick pony trotting around a publicity stunt. Oh, this could have been so, so much more. Best wishes to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew Kressel.
I rest my case.
Exactly.
Good timing for the clock, wasn't it?
Yes, good timing, because I've got to go. And then, so next week, and I guess I'll listen again to the podcast to find out when we're recording.
Well,
I hope it's Sunday.
I can tell you now, it's Sunday.
Yeah, it should be Sunday.
We sort of decided that last time. Anyway, thank you, Mary. I think we just got in there in the time, and it didn't sound as rushed as it was last time.
No, it didn't. God. Okay, and... Kirby, get to me with your information.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye,
y'all.
Bye.
Bye. And, just
bye, Mary. Have a good day.
Apologise to listeners for the little clicking noises. I'm trying to readjust the Skype volume for the others as to try and make it consistent. Will you stop clicking or I'll set the dogs on you? Right. Now,
that was a very ominous yes you said when... Matthew said it could have been so much better, Robert. You just went, yes.
Well, I can tell you, right? The disc, obviously, you have to buy the discs. And now you can download stuff if you want to. But I did, in fact, buy the DVD of The Next Doctor.
I've got the box set.
There is a reason to buy it, and it's not for The Next Doctor, because...
Proms.
Doctor Who and the Proms. And it's some familiar faces in the audience, I seem to see. So... Yes, if you're listening to the show and you're in the audience for the first Doctor Who Proms that happens to be on this disc, let us know, because I'm sure we can spot some very familiar faces. That bloke there looked a bit like Ian Kirk. I wonder if Ian was there.
That bloke there looks...
Ian,
let us know if you were there.
Speaking of the music, I don't know if my attention was wandering because of there being a kind of lack of substance halfway through the middle there, but I noticed there was a piece they used when Rory asked about "Where's my wife?" in A Good Man Goes to War.
Sorry, I'm just watching the Proms thing. I just turned up. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's interesting. You? I really appreciate that. I can tell you were riveted by what I was saying.
You just said that at the wrong time. Sorry, would you like to say that again? Sorry, I do apologise. I was just in the middle of watching some stuff.
I just noticed that there was a piece of music that was used in A Good Man Goes to War when Rory says, "Where's my wife?" And that was composed for this episode, it seems.
Yeah, but we've also heard some very familiar music in episodes that we've watched that seems to be still being used for or be reused or slightly recomposed, you know, or rearranged, shall we say, for new
one of them episodes. Is probably the Doctor's theme for... Tennant's theme, which is used in his whole era. But Something I have missed, actually, going back and watching the Tenet episodes, is I Am the Doctor. It's such a catchy bit of music, and it works so well with the show.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree, Bruce. I that's why I don't want the 11th Doctor to go, really.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to lose that theme, aren't we?
Sure, he hasn't gone yet. I know it's inevitable.
can I mention something?
Yeah, well, you're going to do anyway.
Matthew Cressel. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to know if we could mention that the latest issue of the Terrible Zoden fanzine, which features an interview that he conducted with the 7th Doctor era script editor, Andrew Cartmell, and the first part of his interview with Nicholas Briggs, which are both done at Chicago TARDIS, as well as a couple of other things by him, is now up for download. So that's the Terrible Zoden number 15, the winter 2013 edition, is available through the App Store. Anyway, the details are on the 20 megabyte podcast.
Yeah.
At the very Facebook top.
Pardon?
Sorry?
It's at the very top of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At the moment.
That's because Reese Parton just liked the comment.
Yeah. Next time it's Planet of the Dead. So I'd just like to remind, we didn't mention it last week, we did not mention we were going to be watching The Next Doctor, we just did it. So next week, just to mention it, it's Planet of the Dead.
Dead.
Yeah, so a bit of a disappointment really this episode, but there you go, it's done now.
Yes.
Well, that was the year of the not-so-specials, wasn't it?
Yeah, good point.
No.
Yeah. Oh, Reese likes them.
Yes.
So I suppose it's time to move on to some other stuff. Let's see what else we've got.
News?
News would be, I suppose, something, wouldn't it? The Doctor Who are going to do a remake of The Next Doctor.
What?
Wait.
What? Where are we? It's the 14th of January. Let's see, how far we go back to the 8th of January.
Annoying.
No, it's not. It's just me.
What?
You said it's annoying.
January?
Anyway. So news. A big hand for the Doctor. As reported last week, a new series of e-books are to be published by Puffin over the course of the 50th anniversary, with the first book in the range being announced by BBC Worldwide via Facebook, and it's going to be called A Big Hand for the Doctor.
By the Artemis Cole author.
Yeah, so it's a Hartnell story. I suspect they're going to do one for each Doctor.
Yeah, probably. Seems likely, doesn't it?
Back to Worth of K-9. Tonight sees the return of Stargazers live to BBC Television. That was obviously on the 8th of January. The series sees presenters Professor Brian Cox and Dara O'Brien, which of course would also have been presented by Patrick Moore. And it's quite sad to note that current episodes of The Sky at Night still feature, and these are new episodes, still feature Patrick Moore. And it's very sad to see. Bring their enthusiasm for astronomy to life, inviting viewers to appreciate the sky and visible objects that surround us each evening. Each show is followed by a half-hour discussion about the evening's theme and discoveries, with two presenters joined by guests and a studio audience. This year, Back to Earth also features a special guest in the form of K-9.
K-9, Master.
I didn't see that, and I didn't know anything about it. There you go. The shortlist.
I saw the last appearance of K-9 on the show, and it was very awkward watching it.
Yeah, okay. I've seen all three of them. Someone put them on YouTube, and it's kind of.
I think I'll be avoiding those. And the National Television Award shortlist has been revealed. Shall we have a look at this in the drama section? The show itself. I'm then talking about Doctor Who. Is up against Sherlock. How can it be up against Sherlock? That wasn't. Oh, never mind. Co-created by Moffat and Gatiss. Merlin, brilliant good series. Starring Colin Morgan, and Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey,
which will probably win it. Matt Smith is
nominated. You know, I was about to say, didn't we talk about this? But no, I actually brought that up when I was a guest on the Earth Station Who podcast in the middle of the week. So,
you're as bad as Reese.
Plug.
I was going to say, was that plug prearranged?
No.
Anyway, Matt Smith is nominated
what do you
for
mean as bad as me?
Drama Performance Male, for which he is competing against Benedict Cumberbatch. in the role of Cabbage Patcher. Colin Morgan in the role of Merlin, and Daniel Mays, Ronnie Biggs in Mrs. Biggs.
Daniel Mays was in?
He was in...
Hong Kong?
Hong Kong, no, he wasn't in Hong Kong. He was in Ashes to Ashes when he was...
Yes, well, he was in...
Also in Night Terrors.
That's what I mean. That was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, he was in that one, too. That was a good series as well. Ronnie Biggs in Mrs. Biggs, he played. Mrs. Biggs was really, really good.
That's coming on this year here.
Good series, very good series. Is it? And of course, Mrs. Biggs played by Sheridan Smith, who is a big Finnish actress. Meanwhile, Karen Gillan faces Sheridan Smith. Oh, I just mentioned her, who plays Charmaine Giggs in Mrs. Biggs. Saran Jones, who plays Detective Constable Rachel Bailey in Scott and Bailey. Miranda Hart, who plays Chummy Brown in Call the Midwife, for the best drama performance. Now, I'd like Karen to win it, but I'd also like Sheridan Smith to win that, and I'd also like Miranda Hart to win it. So,
they should all win.
Good nominations or nominees in that particular section. But that's about it. It says, Would I Lie to You features David Mitchell. So there's lots of possibilities for people who have appeared in Doctor Who to win awards not connected with Doctor Who. Anyway, Paul O'Grady, he was in it briefly.
When are these awards?
June Whitfield. It doesn't say, does it? Oh,
Wednesday, 23rd of January, when voting closes. The 18th, takes place in the O2 Arena, broadcast live from ITV1 on 7:30 the same day. So Wednesday, 23rd.
Presented by Dermot O'Leary. Peter Moffat. I mean, where did I get that from? David Tennant and wife Georgia
Moffat. That's Peter Davidson's
real name.
Are expecting
their second child together. Of course, they have three children because David Tennant adopted Georgia Moffat's oldest child. I'm not going to go through that. Well, it says Bern Gorman appears with Tennant in Spies of Warsaw. What else have we got here? Big Finish have announced special 100-minute story for the 50th anniversary. We've already mentioned this. Queers Dig Time Lords. Celebration of Doctor Who by LGBTQ fans.
What's LGBTQ?
Lesbian, gay, bisexual.
Dark, transsexual.
Yep.
Queers.
Basically.
Surely a Doctor Who fan's a Doctor Who fan. It doesn't really matter what particular sexual preference you have, is it? I mean, I don't quite understand that.
Well, to some people it does.
Obviously.
It's a group of people fighting for the rights of those people, but for some reason they're mentioning Doctor Who in that too.
Okay. BFI Celebration proving to be a sellout success. That's all about. Doctor Who magazine 456. That's a good number, isn't it? 456. Wasn't that a baddie in Torchwood once?
A villain in Torchwood, yeah.
But they haven't mentioned that, which is a bit of a shame. They haven't picked up on it. Yes. Picture of Matt Smith in his new costume on the front. There you go. What else we got? Doctor Adventures 302, which features some playing cards. Didier Derbyshire Day.
Did you see what's the playing card? What one of them is?
A Cyberman, Cyber Shade, something like that.
It's got a Cyber Shade from this very episode that we just watched.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
The work of electronica pioneer Dilo Derbyshire has been celebrated in Manchester on the 12th of January, so we missed that one. That's about it, really. UK TV 50th anniversary broadcasts continue. They continue with stories today. The Aztecs in Australia.
New Zealand.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Girl Who Wakens is on ABC One, Friday, 6 p.m.
When is New Zealand going to change their name to Middle Earth?
They have. In the they have.
Yeah.
When you arrive at Wellington, you don't arrive there anymore. You arrive at Middle Earth.
Oh, really?
My dad there went there a couple of weeks ago for my grandfather's 90th birthday, and he arrived in Middle Earth instead of Wellington. They've got a whole lot of Hobbit memorabilia up there.
Lots of short people. greeting him.
I'm sure Reese was about to say something that sort of nearly stirred a memory of my mind of something I was going to say, but it's completely slipped my mind now.
So I nearly said something that nearly reminded you of something.
Sort of, yeah. There was something that sort of reminded me slightly about something I was going to say. But
is that about New Zealand?
No.
Peter Jackson's interested in directing Doctor Who. Is that what you were thinking of?
No. Is that true, though?
Yeah.
Is
he
it?
Said he'd love
yeah.
to.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good.
Ooh.
Well, I thought we discussed that a while back.
We did.
I'm trying to produce a podcast. I can't listen to everything you lot say. That's why I was listening to it back again. There were some nice comments, I pretty remember, on the 20 megabyte group, actually. Let's have a look.
There were?
I'm sure somebody said something a few days ago that deserved a mention on the show.
Why were we saying
anything? I'm making a mistake.
What?
Just looking at some of the previous comments on the group this week. This is the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Oh, got two new members.
Yay!
So welcome to Michael Gordon.
Let's have a look.
And Sandro Giff.
Sandro JF.
I thought he already was a member. There you go.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was.
Yeah.
Who's okay. Michael? You added him, Kirby, didn't you?
Earth Station Who.
Oh, that's good then.
Okay.
Good.
Cool.
Hello, cool. Michael. There's not a lot going on. God. There's some Reese published something that was quite tickled me a little bit. Somebody saying about R2-D2 being on top of a building, and in fact, it was a Dalek, which is aggravating.
The picture of the doctors just covering their faces, pretty much. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Did you see? I was really proud of my. Daughter's.
Oh yes,
I saw that. The quotes.
Computer desktop.
Yes,
yeah, she just came up with that on her own and put it and said, "Hey, you know, I put this on the Facebook page." I said, "Why don't you do it?" She says, "No, I don't want to do it. You do it." But it's her computer desktop is now entirely pink, which is her favorite color.
Yes,
that's unusual for a girl.
We guessed that.
Christmas special and says, I never know why, but who. I'm the clever one and you're the potato one. Watch me run.
Did you call me?
What's wrong with the silly? Well, I'm talking to you, aren't I? And you invented fish because I just like swimming alone.
That's one of the greatest
I'm sure
lines.
I liked those comments before.
So yeah, I did too.
And weird. Now it's saying I didn't. Oh, it's weird.
Never mind, don't worry about it, it's fine.
I've really liked it.
Me too.
Right, what else have we got going on? We've got the whowon.co.uk. I'm just seeing if they've got any new things coming out.
What's that? Can you repeat that?
Whowon.co.uk.
You mean whowon.co.uk?
Voyage to the New World is available to buy.
So that's not whowon.co.com.au, is it?
Something like that. There's some pre-order items available on whowon.co.uk. The Ark in Space Special Edition. Antimatter. Well, it's been available for a while on pre-order, I thought.
That's Big Audio.
Exactly.
And of course, coming up in the next couple of months is, of course, an episode I've been looking for, or a download. Sorry, a DVD. I'll get it right in the end.
Reign of Terror.
What? No, the one that's got the missing episode from
Isn't that
Galaxy
Reign of Terror?
7. No, it hasn't got a mission.
Galaxy 4! Galaxy 4!
What did I say?
3! 2!
Galaxy 7!
Galaxy 8! Any advances?
Galaxy 9!
Yeah, so...
11!
Oh, hang on, the dog's dinner's
isn't
boiling over.
Something else that I posted in the Facebook group was a link to a post on Tumblr that I reblogged, which has a gif of River saying to Amy, I hate good wizards in fairy tales, they always turn out to be him. And then there's another gif of... Sylvester McCoy in The Hobbit.
You know, the people who came up with that particular standard wanted people to call them GIFs, like the peanut butter.
Well, they're called GIFs. Because everyone else calls them GIFs.
I call them GIFs, too. I just thought I would be different.
Your usual self and be pedantic. Where's he disappeared off to?
Introduced by CompuServe in 1987, as soon as coming to widespread usage due to
Wikipedia, here we are. Right. Wikipedia, it's been a long time.
Hello, I'm back again. Sorry, the dog's dinner was just boiling over.
And front and sides.
Yes, yeah, so there's some Galaxy 4, like you say, is going to be appearing on it's a re-release of something coming up very soon. I can't remember what it is, actually. It's like another rehash of an old DVD that's already released. It's the dog's dinner's boiling over a little bit.
Goodness, I'll turn it off.
Yeah. Turn it off. I've turned it down. I'm cooking it.
Adam, I created a picture just for you for the...
Oh, yes.
Where you mentioned that the sign on Megabyte City should have said 20 megabytes.
All right.
And you didn't like it. Everyone else...
Where is it?
It's on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook page.
Let's have a look.
Scroll down.
Yeah.
Found it. I'll like it for you. There we go. Okay, done. Right. Very good. Thank you, everybody who's joined the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group. And
welcome.
It's amazing that we've got 131 members.
We need more feedback.
It does make you wonder why we don't get so much feedback. Maybe we're just too entertaining. People don't need to write into the show. I really don't know.
It's Jim the Fish as
now
well.
I've remembered what I was going to say.
Yeah, where's Jim the Fish?
The Fish is on vacation.
He's having his fish pond cleaned.
Yeah, I was listening to the Bigger on the Inside podcast. Now, they've recently reviewed a couple of episodes which they were very dismissive. They basically saying they were the worst Doctor Who episodes ever. Oh my god,
hang on, which please. Ones
the place is filling up with smoke and steam.
Oh no.
It's a bit alarming because the smoke and steam is in this room but the cooking's in the other room, so I don't quite know what's going on, and it's it's all right. It is cooling down. Anyway, yeah. So, what's the episodes they didn't like? Now, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but I thought they would just push things a little bit too far with their particular criticisms. So, I'm just going to find out which episodes that they're referring to. I can't find it. Oh, there it is. I found it. Come on.
Was it the next Doctor that they were catching?
No. Well, they went on, basically, if you can remind me, because I can tell you that they went on about the about Blink and the Family of Blood story if it was the best thing ever, which is fair enough. But the two episodes previous to that...
Family of Blood is.
Two episodes previous to that. The Dalek story.
Oh.
Which one?
Which...
Dalek.
Daleks in Manhattan. In Manhattan, which... basically said that is the worst Doctor Who story ever. And what was the one before that? Or after it?
Exactly say that.
I wouldn't be too hard to disagree with them there. It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad, but I wouldn't say it's the worst ever. Yeah, I seem to remember us reviewing it recently. And
actually, the Lazarus Experiment was Mary's first review with us, I think.
Lazarus Experiment, thank you. Right. Yeah. I remember saying that wasn't very good, but they were... Basically,
it was all right.
I disagree that the fact that they think that hello, Ben.
I just said it was all right.
Yeah, the Dalek story was the worst thing ever, and then they're gushing and saying that Blink is the best thing ever. If she's Blink is brilliant, but it's not.
That sounds
the best
very
thing
familiar to a certain other Doctor Who podcast that likes to call themselves the Doctor Who podcast. Yeah.
Basically, the reason why they love Blink so much is that one of the presenters was converted to Doctor Who because the first thing they actually watched was Blink, and then they went and watched the Family of Blood episode, and that was it. The one that reeled them in was Blink. The one that converted was the Family of Blood story. But they did make a good point that if you want to get somebody interested in Doctor Who, is to show those two stories.
I used to Blink, but the problem with Blink is it's so unlike anything else that people may expect every story to be like
that's
that.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. But what it does is, because it's Dr. Light, it rather teases you with the idea of the Doctor and makes you think, I'd like to see more of that character. And then, of course, hopefully they get some to watch some more Doctor Who. But I still find a lot of people that switched off Doctor Who when Matt Smith became the Doctor have missed a couple of series and now starting to realise he's actually quite good. Mm. But still go on about David Tennant as if he's...
God, the bloody fangirls.
Mm. Don't get me started.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes. I think that's ridiculous just because of a certain actor's bloody in the role.
Yes.
He's swearing again, listeners.
Well, I agree with that swearing. He can swear as much as he wants about it.
And all the dramatic sound effects start appearing in the background for Robert.
Right. It's supposed to be noise cancelling. It's bloody useless.
He did it again!
He did it again!
Foul mouth!
Oh no, we said it. I said it.
Listen to this. Powerful speakers deliver quality sound.
Well, the sound isn't bad. He's done it again! Every other word!
I see it to the beep beep beep!
Sounds like blimmin' Morse code.
Beep.
Right.
Beep 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 beep.
Anyway, on eBay, which is the last thing I'm going to cover this week, it's still that Dalek number plate, which is £3,800, and surprise, surprise, nobody's actually put
still
any
bids.
Still no bids? Yep, no bids.
I think they'd lower the expecting price then.
Wow. Sounds like a didgeridoo in a way, doesn't it? And Rolf Harris is going to come on in a minute and start doing his wobbly board.
Yeah. Me kangaroo down.
Sport. Can you tell what it is?
Me kangaroo down.
Can you tell what it is?
That was recorded in the Channel 7 studios here in Perth.
Thank you for that.
Ooh.
Climb your kangaroo dance. No, my memories of Rolf Harris, when I was very little.
The goodies?
4 years old. What's that got to do with goodies? Yeah. Rolf Harris? They used to...
ripped into him.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, no. When I was about 4 years old, I remember when I was still with my parents, being sort of told... forced to eat sausages and baked beans for breakfast. Yeah, and I love sausages now, but I still hate baked beans. And listening on the radio to Two Little Boys by Rolf Harris, and I used to listen to the lyrics of the song, and it used to upset me because it's a very horrible, miserable, grumpy song. And that always stuck in my mind, and that's not very interesting. On the other side of things, the other song that I always used to hear at the same time.
You know what that song was about, Adam?
Yes, that's what upsets me.
Because his brother. And him, no, was it his uncle or something, and his dad or something? I can't remember what it was. Who was it? Both going off to war, and one of them died.
Yeah, it's painfully sad. And when you're 4 years old and you hear a song like that, it's very upsetting. And also, when the other song was My Sweet Lord by George Harrison, which I absolutely loved and still love to this day. Right.
Still sounds like the Exciters tell him.
Check the peg. What's that got to do with George Harrison?
With my extra leg, wherever I go.
If I'm clearing, be quiet.
Always let me.
If I'm clearing my throat a lot, it's because the smoke from the dog's dinner is getting into my throat a little bit. Right, the number one item with bids against it is the first official BBC Doctor Who fan club collection at £250. Let's try and see what the collection is. It's good lord, what is it? Let's have a look. I've been selling da 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 da. I've now reached my da da da. The first office Doctor Who fan club started. Blah blah blah. Blah. Membership card number 70. Club badge and pen. Letter of acceptance. First club magazine. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, but 250 quid.
Jeff's comment on my 20 megabyte.
Jeff Waddell.
Picture of the sign. She's definitely got a mega bite with those teeth.
Excellent. collecting the straws. I was going to find the Blana Splits music, wasn't I? Never mind. I said the Banana Splits music, not whatever you're doing.
Banana 2, banana 3, banana 4.
You'd be lucky the dogs can't. Oi, you're lucky the dogs can't hear that because they'll probably think there's cats around the place and be started barking and stuff. There isn't anything else. I'm going through the pages. I think this eBay item's a load of rubbish. Who thought this thing up? It's just trying to, I'm just trying to retain the link between the old days, this now, and the old days of the 20 megabyte podcast. And I'm not achieving that particular aim at the moment because there's nothing, nobody's putting bids against expensive Doctor Who memorabilia. Much. Dear me, it's really nothing.
What the hell?
I mean, what the hell?
Reese? No, just scrolling down the 20 megabyte page.
Yes.
And Reese has posted that picture about Michael Lauder.
Who?
Always wanted a Dalek, so he went and built a couple of his very own. That picture looks like he's trying to do a Katie Manning with the Dalek.
More dramatic. Is
he naked? Is he naked?
No.
Looks like he's got his top off.
You're weird.
That's what it looks like.
The Red Dwarf X is available on DVD now, apparently. I haven't seen any of them yet, but I'd like to.
Just like I've got them all on computer, but I just
As I pointed out to Mary, the Red Dwarf was not available on Netflix streaming for a while, and it came back up, and it's available, at least here in the States, to watch up through... X isn't there, but everything up to there.
Oh, cool. Right, so I found an item.
I started watching from the beginning again.
I found an item.
What?
Okay. Number two, the item. It's a Doctor Who £10 from the episode The Runaway Bride, signed by David Tennant. It's a £10 note with Tennant sort of face on it.
Isn't that illegal to deface legal
tender?
No,
it said London Credit Bank or something like that.
It's one
of the notes that they used for in the scene.
Yeah,
but it's got Tennant's face on it. God, this is dreadful. It's almost as bad as the episode we just watched. It's really nothing here. What an interesting item that wasn't. God. Oh, yeah, got found the third item at last. Working vintage boxed red and yellow 1974 Marks Bump and Co. Dalek complete. There we go, £85 at last. Done. You well and truly have been. That's it then for the 20 megabyte podcast for this week. I hope
the 20 megabyte enjoy the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes.
There could be others.
Yes, the Pedants podcast, as it's sometimes.
Well, no, that's Kirby's when he starts his own.
I like what Ian posted about CBS. Curse of the Black Scott.
Curse of the Black Scott?
Spot. Gillen's quite pale, you know.
I'm just going back through old posts, don't worry.
Yeah, clearly,
Magic and just, Star to the Sixth Doctor and Perry. What the hell?
Just right. If you're going for old posts, just rather illustrate as to it might be a good idea to end the episode now while the going's bad. Until next week.
Well,
thank
just
you for listening.
Something to Kirby's.
This is not a test.
Good timing.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Can you come pick me up, please?
Thank you for rescuing me.
Bye
bye.
Sorry.
Where are you? I've just ended the call. I don't know where she is. Gone. That's a bit silly, wasn't it?
You better find out.
I'm finding out.
Hello, Marta.
Hello. I forgot to ask where you were.
I did wonder.
Yeah.
I'm at Jimmy's.
Where?
Mrs. Reynolds.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Right, that's it then.
What a good way to end the show.
By saying goodbye.
Yes. Bye.
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 podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.